with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So the more flexible you are, there's evidence that the less back pain you'll experience throughout your life. I personally can attest to this. I was an athlete younger. I did hurt my back a few times. And, you know, as an adult, if I wasn't careful, you know, even if I stood up too quick, I could actually hurt my back. For about the past 2 years, I've been going through a lot of different flexibility exercises for my legs, my lower back, and it's really helped. I really haven't had any problems. I will tell you, though, it's kind of embarrassing. I was just tying my shoes about a month ago, stood up too fast, and I felt a little kink. However, the back pain was a lot less, and I think I can attribute that to the fact that I'm just more flexible today. So I really do believe in this connection between flexibility and back pain, and so does my guest. He's Dr. Tom Garzillo. He's a graduate from Cleveland Chiropractic College and is the author of the ebook Jailbreak from Back Pain. He has experience with over 10,000 patients and really about 25 years in practice. Dr. Garzillo, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Mike.
I appreciate you coming on. So let me just start with this. What is it about the lower back that allows it to get so easily injured? What's going on there?
It's a combination of things. One, as you know, it's the way that it's made. And other factors include that it's really in harm's way. It's something that we put ourselves into so many positions that tighten it up, decrease its shock absorbing ability, and then when we need it to do something else, it just can't stand up, and that's how structures get damaged and injured.
Yeah. So when people talk about lower back pain, in your experience, is it mostly nerve, muscle, or bone that's causing the problem?
That's a great question, because I'm going to say it starts with the muscle, which turns into a situation that puts pressure on the nerve through either a direct compression or by degenerating the bone, and ultimately you wind up with a situation where the bones are sitting on top of each other and they're sitting right on top of that nerve.
Yeah, so eventually the nerves are going to be involved in that. So what about my story, Dr. Garzillo? Have you seen that before where patients of yours, where they just work on their flexibility and then they come in and say, hey, things are a lot better? Because that's how it worked for me.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Your story actually really mirrors a study that was done, I believe, in 1990. They took two sets of fire departments, municipal firefighters. One they had work on their flexibility with 12 different stretches over a six-month span, and the other two departments were told not to stretch in any way. The number of incidences and the severity of incidences was dramatically decreased in the firefighters that stretched out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's interesting because for me, as I told you, I don't know if you heard, about a month ago, I was just tying my shoe. I stood up a little bit too quick. I mean, that's just, I guess, getting older. But, you know, so my back got hurt a little bit, but it wasn't near as bad as it had been in the past. So I think that's part of that just being more flexible.
I think certainly you can't promise somebody that by increasing their flexibility, they'll never have a problem at all. But it's going to cut way down on the number of problems that they have, and it's really going to cut down on the severity of those problems. And the thing about something like tying your shoe or taking out the garbage or so many of the things that we both heard that were real simple situations that caused, you know, problems or even a significant amount of pain that led to a trip to certainly more care than they were wanting to have at the moment. It boils down to how something simple can cause a problem when you just don't have the shock-absorbing ability for it.
Yeah. So I know you talk about some mistakes that people make when it comes to back pain and then some of the best things that we can do. Let's talk just about what are the top two mistakes that we make that may be causing some back pain?
To me, the number one mistake is bed rest when you have a problem. When you immobilize something or really stay away from using it all when you have a problem, really it just gets so much stiffer that it increases the problem that you're going to have in the short and in the long term. So the big mistake, and a lot of research has shown how bed rest is one of the worst solutions for back pain, it actually leads to a lot more back pain in the future. I'm not a big fan of putting a lot of heat on back pain. I know people are ready to grab the heating pad or they're ready to take that nice long hot bath, but it increases the inflammation and that can really cause some more problems down the road. I'm also not necessarily the biggest fan of a lot of the braces that you used to see all the time where people use for everything that they did. But really what it did is it made them weaker instead of stronger, and again, really cut down on their capacity to do some of the things that they would get caught doing without the brace on.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that we want to do to either help with back pain or prevent it in the first place?
Well, I think you've put your finger on the biggest one by far. What you're doing is, I think, what everybody should do. The amount of flexibility you've got in your lower back is by far the most proactive thing you can do to decrease the amount of back pain you have in the short and long term. You know, I think physical conditioning for so many people, but we all know it comes down to three things. It comes down to strength, it comes down to flexibility, and it comes down to cardiovascular conditioning. But I think flexibility really gets neglected, and emphasizing flexibility and looking at it as something that you can do incrementally, day by day, and how those little stretching movements add up to be something that really changes your capacity.
You know, and let me interject there, Dr. Garzillo, because I want to tell my listeners what I do. I don't remember the name of it, but it is a yoga position, and I want to say it has something to do with a bear. Maybe a bear's in the name of this, but I'm on my knees, my arms go back, and I put my head slowly down to the ground, and it just kind of shapes my back in a nice arc. And it kind of stretches those vertebral bodies, and it really does feel really better. It feels great, and I can really feel it in the lower spine. So that's what I do. Are there any specific ones you like to teach to your patients?
I think the one you mentioned is excellent, but I absolutely insist that people throw some good old-fashioned toe touches like we used to do in junior high gym class.
Right,
and I know you mentioned having been an athlete really throughout your life. One of the things that people just don't think in terms of is I'm standing there, my feet are a little bit farther than shoulder width apart, and I'm really trying to get those hands down on the floor, keeping my legs straight. That movement is really going to lengthen and prepare the muscles that you're going to use not only in bending forward but in rotating from side to side.
Now you said something interesting. So you're saying when you do the straight leg or the toe touches, you keep your feet not together but shoulder width apart?
Yeah, slightly shoulder width apart. You know, there's a lot of great exercises that involve, you know, using a kind of a real stable base, using your body really as that platform that you want to exercise off of. So when you've got your feet shoulder width apart, and you're really trying to get the fingertips or the palms or your fist down touching the floor in between your feet, you've got a real good position to work from when you're doing that movement.
Okay, so let's say I'm working on my flexibility, and it's been successful for me. As I said, I can attest to that. When should somebody consider going to somebody like you, Dr. Garzillo, who can actually do some adjustments and stuff? When do I need to go, okay, I got to go see somebody for this?
When it hasn't gone away in a couple of days. You know, I think if we all ran to the doctor every time we had an ache and pain, we'd spend a lot of time there after we turned 50. But the reality is, you know, the difference between, and they mention this in almost every game you watch on TV, the difference between pain and an injury is really that dividing line of seeking professional help. If you've got pain, hey, sometimes that just comes with what you did. But if it lasts more than 48 hours, it's something you probably should get looked at.
So the ebook is Jailbreak from Back Pain. Is there a website people can check this out?
Yes, it's actually, the website is also jailbreakfrombackpain.com, or it's available on Amazon at Jailbreak from Back Pain.
Okay.
Or you can go to my website, which is tomgarzillo.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. Jailbreak from Back Pain sounds great. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.